All right, I've started the recorder. And in the Kindle, I am at NTI Acts 16, which in my Kindle version is page 241. What do you have?
242.
242 in the paperback. Okay, here we go. The world is a world of rules. I have already told you that you are not to place yourself under these rules, but instead give yourself to me under my authority. I will guide you according to the law of love in order to lead you from the world to the realization of love. As I lead you to follow this path with me, I will guide you as to what is reasonable to do or not do within the dream. Trust me to lead you as we navigate the laws and rules of your seeming world. Trust me in all decisions and all judgments. Leave all things to me. I will lead you truly. So really what Holy Spirit is trying to do is get us to lay down our own judgment, our own decision-making judgment, and learn to listen only to Him, which for me feels like only following intuition all of the time. Because whenever we're judging, whenever we're weighing options and you know, what we think is right or wrong, you know, what we talked about last week, like maybe how to be a good friend or how to be a good parent in a certain situation, what we're really weighing options with is our ego. That's what we're weighing options with. And so what Spirit is asking us to do really is to lay down our thinking, our decision-making process, and just learn to kind of feel within, what does it feel like I am to do here, and learn to follow intuition more. Because if we learn to follow intuition, we're still guided as to what to do. We still know what to do, but we aren't exercising the ego with all of the weighing of options and the judgment. So verses 6 to 10. If you leave all things to me, I will guide you in all things. You will not need to give thought or care to anything you are to do or not do. I will lead you to know what to do and what not to do. All that you are left to do is to willingly do as I ask and enjoy the freedom that is expressed through you. So again, he's asking us to live an intuitive life, which I think takes practice for everyone, because we have been, at the very least, raised to trust our minds. You know, we were educated to have good judgment. And so what he's really asking us to do now is to lay down the mind, you know, not to use it, and instead to use, you know, I call it the gut, some people call it the heart, but use this intuitive feeling that we have that's really telling us what choices we should make instead. You will find as you follow my guidance that you are welcome in the heart of God, for you have always been welcomed by God, only you did not know it because your eyes were closed to your worth. In following me, your eyes shall be open to your worth, and you shall realize that you are loved and welcomed. So what he's really saying here is if we learn to follow that intuitive life, we're actually going to just see amazing, you know, coincidences, amazing spontaneities, amazing miracles. And we're going to start realizing that we don't have to work as hard as we thought we had to. By work as hard, I mean constantly figuring everything out, constantly controlling everything. We don't have to work as hard as we thought we did. If we just relax and follow our intuitive prompts, somehow everything else falls into place. And so we start realizing that we're really incredibly, incredibly loved. You know, our part is very small, very easy. We just kind of step into this flow, and everything we need shows up. Everything that's a part of what we are to do shows up. And our part is actually much smaller and much simpler than we would have imagined. We still have a part, but it's not that same, you know, controlling effort that we used to put forth. As you realize the welcome that God has given you, you shall give Him welcome. For love cannot say no to a request for love. So as you know your Father's yes to you, you shall also say yes and welcome to your Father. Most people fear surrender because somehow they're afraid that if they surrender, God's going to screw them. I mean, that's just what they think. If I surrender, He's going to make me penniless. Or I actually used to have a fear. I really did. Now it sounds funny, but I had a fear that if I surrendered, Jasmine was going to die. I had that fear. And it came out one time. I saw it, and then I let it go, but it was there. And so I was really afraid to surrender because I thought I was going to have to lose her. And I think the reason in my mind came from all of the great spiritual people that I had known were unmarried and childless. And so I thought, in order to really follow God completely, in order to really give your life to God, you got to be unmarried and childless. And I was unmarried, but I had this child here. So I thought that Jasmine would die, that God would take Jasmine from me. So we have these ideas in our mind, maybe not exactly that one, but we have these ideas that if we surrender, in some way we're really, really going to sacrifice. And that's the main thing that keeps everybody controlling. Because you think, I got to take care of myself. If I surrender to God, you know, He's somehow going to screw me. So what this is saying is if you do start trying to live that intuitive life, instead what you're going to discover is how much easier everything gets. And you're going to start realizing you're loved. And then your reaction will actually be to surrender even more. So it's kind of like you learn from experience that you can trust God and that, you know, God isn't there to make you suffer. And as you learn that more and more and more, you surrender more and more and more. So you learn, what's the word? Is it warm fuzzies? You learn through the warm fuzzies, right? That's the word they use, yeah. The welcome you see in your brothers and the welcome you see in God is the welcome you give to your brothers and the welcome you give to God. There is no difference in your brother and you, and there is no difference in your feelings for your brother and your feelings for God. You will find hatred in your brother, and you will find hatred in your feelings for him. This is because there is hatred in you for God. This is why you do not give him full welcome unto yourself now. So what these paragraphs are really saying is, you know, in most of our minds, we have an idea of God, me, and other people. But there's really no such thing as God, me, and other people. The truth is that it's all one. And so, you know, people will often fantasize, literally, that they love God, but it's like a fantasy. But yet, you know, they hate their brother, right? They're angry at their brother. And so what this is saying is it's impossible to love God and hate your brother. So it's really asking us, just get honest about this. If you hate your brother, then you also hate God. And this isn't to make you feel guilty. This is just to bring you out of the fantasy into the reality of how you feel so that you can start looking at this. And in fact, the next paragraph helps us to look at it. It says, hatred is born of fear. And fear is born of guilt, and guilt is the belief that you are unworthy of your Father's love. Because you believe you are unworthy, you believe that He deems you unworthy too. And so you do not give welcome to your Father because you do not expect Him to give welcome to you. So what this is really saying is the real reason that you hate anyone, and it doesn't have to be, you might not feel like you hate anyone, but you know that flare-up of anger that comes, or that flare-up of annoyance would all qualify as hate. The real reason that you hate anyone is because deep down inside you feel unworthy. And if you felt fully worthy, fully lovable, fully loved, fully God's child, You would have so much love for God because you experience that welcome so much in you, that love so much in you, you can't help but return it to God. And if you return it to God, you also return it to your brother because they're the same. There really is no difference. So when you feel fully loved and embraced and you no longer feel unworthy at all, then your only reaction back is love. And that way, you know, we always say what you give, you receive. But in that way, what you allow yourself to receive, you also so give. So it's saying that it's not really, although the effect is that you appear to hate your brother. That's really an effect. The true cause of the problem is your own sense of unworthiness. You might even call it a hidden self-hatred. And then it's projected out onto the brother. But you don't actually hate your brother. That's an effect. You feel unworthy. That's the actual cause. That's what's going on inside of you. This is the prison you are in. It is a prison of belief and expectations born within the imagination of your mind based upon what you imagine yourself to be. I have come to show you another way to see. I am willing to meet you within your prison and show you that you are free, even there. I am willing to walk with you to lead you from your prison, that you may learn you know your Father's love. As you see the welcome He has given you within the prison that you have placed yourself in, you shall see the welcome He gives you in all things that you imagine, given to you unconditionally. So again, a part of the key to realizing that you're not unworthy is literally learning to allow your Father's love in. And the way that you allow your Father's love in is again through surrender, let go of control. Because if you will let go of control and begin to surrender and follow the intuitive life, what you then see is how loved you are, because you see how the universe or God, whatever you want to call it, how it responds, how everything you need is given, how, you know, just how all the coincidences that happen, you know, the right person shows up at the right time, and you start seeing that you are loved and that you are worthy, and that inner joy of realizing that you are loved and you are worthy arises, and then that's what you extend to other people. So surrender, you know, a lot of people think of surrender as, I have to surrender to God in order for Him to like me. You know, that's kind of a thought process. The truth is, you have to surrender to God so that you can learn how much He already loves you. You know, because you're the one with the wall. Right? You're the one with the wall up, not letting the love in. Knowing your Father's welcome must set you free, for no longer can you pretend that you are not welcome. No longer can you hold on to your desire not to welcome Him. To know your Father's welcome is to be welcome, and to be welcome is to be free. This is why I ask you to walk with me. This is why I ask you to trust me in all things. You do not know that you are free, and so you believe that you are in a prison. I see your freedom because I know your Father's welcome. Come with me and I will show you your Father's, and I will show your Father's welcome to you. And then you will know it and rejoice because you are free. So it's kind of an interesting request, you know, surrender so that you can learn how loved you are. And if you think about it, whenever we do try to control events, it is because, and it may not be super conscious, but there's just this fear behind whenever we're trying to control events, fear that if I don't control events, something bad is going to happen, something I'm really not going to like or something I can't handle. You know, something bad is going to happen if I don't control events. So there's an inherent distrust whenever we're trying to control. And so that inherent distrust really shows that we do, you know, think that God doesn't love us. And if we knew that God loved us as much as God loves us, we wouldn't have to control anything. In fact, we would know that our efforts are never as great as His. You know, why would we want what we could give ourselves when He could give us something better? In fact, can I just use an example, Dee Dee? There was this job that Danielle really thought she wanted once. Do you remember that? She tried so hard to get it, and when she, the details I may be a little fuzzy on, so you can correct me, or if you think they're close enough, you can just leave them. That's up to you. But what I remember is that you tried making phone calls when it looked like you weren't going to get the job, right? And tried to really get yourself in there.
Yeah.
And then you didn't get it, right? And you were mad.
Yeah.
But down the road just a little bit, what she came to see is that would have been a very bad situation to be in.
Yeah.
So like the gift was not getting the job, you know? And she was trying so hard to fight and call people and get it and say that she was being treated unfairly, right? And actually she was being blessed. In fact, it reminds me of, I can't think of the country, Garth Brooks. Garth Brooks has a song that says, some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. You know, so when you trust God, then you're not trusting God to give you what you want, because what you want truly may not be in your best interest. And A Course in Miracles, it talks about, it gives the example of a young child running with scissors. They may want to run with scissors, but are you going to let them? No loving parent's going to let them. And they may scream as you're taking the scissors away. But it's love that's taking the scissors away. It's the same thing. You know, God will give you anything you want that will not hurt you. But God loves you too much to give you something that will hurt you just because you want it. Just like you wouldn't give a child, you know, something that's going to hurt them. But God loves you very, very much. And the request here is that we surrender so that we can learn that. And if that's the purpose of surrender, to learn that we're loved, you can see that there's not even the possibility of sacrifice in it. That idea that we have that God's somehow going to hurt me, you know, like kill my child, you know, make me homeless. Well, that would totally defeat the purpose, right? It doesn't even make sense. So that's it. The purpose of surrender is to learn that you're loved and that you don't have to control and you don't have to be afraid and you can just be happy and love. So that's it, unless you want to go longer. That's a whole chapter.
That's fine.
Should we come up with an assignment?
Sure.
Okay, so let's see. What's our assignment? I have an assignment, I think, if you like it. You have a veto authority. The assignment I'm thinking of is, if you know, just start noticing within ourselves. We have 3 whole weeks to do this now. So notice when in ourselves when we don't want to surrender. Maybe we don't even want to check for intuition. we don't even want to check. We want to do what we want to do. And then just kind of just say to ourselves, notice how I don't want to let in God's love. Just respond that way to our own resistance to surrender. Notice how I don't want to let in God's love. And that's it. You know, you could still go right on and resist if you want to. But if you just keep saying that, at some point it's going to slowly break down the resistance. Okay? All right, so I'll go ahead and stop the record then.